Good afternoon and welcome to you all. Firstly, a couple of essential notices. In the event of a fire alarm, please leave by the two stairways behind you. Do not use the lift. And if you are unable to use the stairs, please enter the area of the escape stairway to my left and wait there for assistance. We also ask that mobile phones are switched off. We're gathered here for the Thanksgiving service for the life of Sheila Watt. And on behalf of Andrew and Stephen, I would thank you for coming along today to show your respect for Sheila, who peacefully went home to be with the Lord on Tuesday, the 10th of October. Andrew and Stephen would like to express their appreciation for the genuine care shown by the doctors and the staff at Summerhill, who all displayed patience and compassion, and the family thank them for this. They sincerely thank Isabel Aiken for her constant support of Sheila over recent years, taking her to appointments and helping her with her weekly shopping. That was all much appreciated by the family. And thanks to all those who helped Sheila get to church and to the ladies' prayer meetings when she was able, who visited Sheila at Summerhill, and to all who remembered her in their prayers. The family also appreciate the excellent advice and compassion shown by Mark Shaw and his staff in overseeing the funeral arrangements. And the numerous expressions of sympathy are much appreciated. For anyone who wishes to contribute, donations for Echoes of Service may be placed in the collection box in the foyer. Following this service, the interment will take place at Springbank Cemetery at 2:30 p.m., to which all are invited, and refreshments will be provided at the Palm Court Hotel adjacent to the cemetery. For any who wish, they may proceed directly to the hotel. Let us now stand to sing, after the introduction, the first hymn on the sheet, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the life of Sheila, one who patiently trusted in Jesus and was faithful to him, a faithfulness that was characterized by her often asking many of us, is there anything I should pray for? We thank you for her faithfulness in prayer and for every precious memory of Sheila. We thank you for calling her by your grace to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, a bond that led her to the joys of overseas mission, yet to experience tragedy in life, only to display her perseverance, her courage, and her commitment to remain faithful in the years ahead as she rested on the sure foundation of her hope in Christ. We thank you that her unwavering trust in Jesus was rewarded last week when she did not simply die, but Jesus came and took her home to enjoy in soul and spirit his wonderful presence and the abundant joy of eternal life. Well may we repeat, then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, how great thou art. For one day, we who believe in Jesus will all meet him. Thank you, our Father, for that great reunion day for every Christian, when we who belong to Jesus, we will see Sheila again. But for now, we ask that Stephen and Andrew and all the family, as well as ourselves, may receive your deep, reassuring comfort. And we ask that you may adorn this service with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll now invite Andrew to bring the tribute, after which we will sing the second hymn and the rest of the service will follow through. Thank you, Andrew.
Mum was born and brought up in Dundee, and she was very proud of her Dundee roots. And on several occasions, she took Stephen and I down to her hometown to show us the places that she lived and some of the key landmarks of the city. At the age of 13, during the Second World War, following a German air raid on Dundee, our grandfather sent Mum and her brother Clifford and Grandma to relatives in Chicago and America for safekeeping. And they stayed there for 4 years. Chicago was a very big and grand city at the time, the financial center of America, vastly different from Dundee. And I don't think they really settled there. And I know that Mum was very relieved to come back to Dundee after the war. And on her return, she finished her schooling at Dundee High School and then went on to St. Andrew University to study an MA in Geography and History and then a Diploma in Education. Mum was very sporty at the time, enjoyed athletics, hockey and golf. At hockey, she represented the first team for her school and university, and she was also selected to play for Scotland. However, it meant playing on a Sunday, and so Mum turned down the opportunity. Mum also introduced Stephen and myself to golf at a very early age. And we remember good times on many golf courses playing with her, and she played to a very high standard. She also had a very good eye for the ball, which was very fortunate because Stephen and I would often hit the ball into the rough. What we thought was a lost cause wasn't with her, and she often found the ball. At the age of 26, Mum took up a teaching position at Butik Bintang Girls' School in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. This was a Christian school and was the oldest school in Kuala Lumpur. She taught at the school for about 6 years. She taught various subjects, but the main one was geography. She was known as a good teacher and mentor, and also for a Scottish accent. And she remained lifelong friends with many of her pupils and fellow teachers. And Stephen and I have met quite a few of them and their families over the years. However, Mum got more than she bargained for when she moved to Malaysia, because she met her husband, Tom Watt, there. Ironically, Tom was from Aberdeen in Scotland, but they met in Malaysia. He had previously been in the Merchant Navy and Royal Navy, but was now a church missionary in Malaysia. And they married in Kuala Lumpur in 1959. Mum gave up her teaching to support Dad in his work. And Dad specialized in church planting and supporting young and small churches to help them to grow. For the first 10 years of their marriage, they supported a cluster of churches in the Klang district near Kuala Lumpur. Mum learned to speak the Chinese dialect Hokkien, and she could also speak the Malay language, and this helped her in her work. And it was during this time that Stephen and I were born. One of the homes that we lived in was in a village called Jinjaram, and the neighbours reared baby crocodiles. And sometimes Stephen and I would go next door to play with those crocodiles. And on reflection, I'm sure we gave Mum a lot of anxious moments when we did that. After Klang, we moved to Kota Baru in the northeast of Malaysia. It's a town near the Thai border. However, we were separated from our dad at spells, as Stephen and I needed to go down to Kuala Lumpur for our schooling. However, a couple of years after moving to Kota Bharu, our dad died. I was 6, and Stephen was only 4. That was a sad time for the family. And the following year, in 1972, 19 years after Mum had moved to Malaysia, she decided to return to Scotland, this time to Aberdeen, because that's where her parents had moved to. And within a year of our return, we moved into our home in Cairnfield Place. And that became our family home for the next 43 years. Mum became very attached to the place, and we had great difficulty moving her out of it into the care home. Mum returned to teaching and secured a post at Aberdeen Grammar School, teaching history and religious education. She humbly said that the reason she got the job was that because the school had recently taken on female students, it had formerly been an all-boys school, that they needed female teachers. However, I'm sure she got the job on merit alone. In addition to a full-time teaching job and raising 2 boys, she also continued to be active in the local church here at Hebron and with a variety of local community and Christian causes. She also helped overseas students at Aberdeen University to read and speak English, using the Bible as her text. And she continued to be interested in the missionary work of others around the world, but always had a soft spot for Malaysia, and she revisited that country several times. And despite her busyness, she always found time for Stephen and me and supported us in our studies and took an active interest in our careers and families, both in Scotland and New Zealand. We were well loved. Mum had a great Christian faith and belief in God, and she lived a selfless life, always interested and concerned in others rather than herself. She was also a brave and adventurous person. I always remember when she visited me in Hong Kong 20 years ago, where I lived at the time. She was 69. Together, we explored much of Hong Kong and the surrounding islands. She also decided to travel alone into mainland China by train and bus to meet up with a former pupil of hers from Bukit Bintang Girls' School, who is now working and living in China. And I remember seeing her off at the railway station, thinking to myself, I hope she'll be okay. But I needn't have worried. A few days later, she reappeared at my apartment, having successfully met up with her former pupil and with a great story to tell. There is so much more I could say, but my time is up. Thank you for being a part of my mum's life, and I'm sure you will have your own memories of her too. We loved her very much, and she will be sorely missed.
Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, reading from the New International Version. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Since Sheila went home to be with the Lord last week, there has been a recurring theme in the conversations I have had with people regarding her. And that is the sense that this feels like it marks the end of an era. And that is why I was drawn to these verses that Stephen has read for us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, because they too represent the end of an era. The Apostle Paul writes here his farewell to Timothy. Paul knows that the time has come for him to depart. And as we take just a few moments to consider the things that Paul reflects upon here, I trust we will be comforted, we will be encouraged, and even challenged by God's precious word. The first thing Paul does is he reflects on the battle. He sums up his life as a Christian in three ways. He says, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. If there is one thing that unites those three phrases, it is endurance. Paul's saying, I have stuck at this. From the time I first trusted Jesus Christ, though it has been a battle, though there have been real crisis points that you might have looked on and thought, how can you persevere in this? I fought on. I stuck with Jesus, confident that trusting in him would never lead to disappointment. And here I am at the end of the road, with the finish line finally in sight. And he's saying here to Timothy, I have no regrets about giving my life to Christ. But he reflects not only on his own often hard life of faithfulness to Christ, but he reflects on the victory that is ahead. This may be the end of the road for his life and ministry on earth, but it is by no means the end. What is it that awaits him? Well, he says, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. It is the victor's crown. And what makes it so special is he tells us that it is received from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, on their arrival home, it is Jesus himself who welcomes and who congratulates those who've trusted him. And you see, Paul says here that this isn't the exclusive reward for apostles, but it is for all who, like him, have longed for or who have loved the Lord's appearing. That's an unusual phrase, but it is such a good summary of the Christian life. A Christian is someone who loves Jesus Christ and who longs to see him, because they realize just how much they owe him. The Christian knows that their only hope of being right with God is by depending on Jesus Christ. You see, the Son of God has become a human being, and he has done everything on their behalf. He's lived the life of perfect obedience to God, something none of us can do. He has suffered and died on the cross, bearing the penalty for sins, and he has been raised again from the dead, conquering death forever. And therefore, the person who places faith in Jesus Christ, depending on him, is forgiven their sins. They stand righteous before God, and they have assurance of eternal life. It's little wonder, therefore, that they love Jesus, that they are eager to see him, either when he returns or when they die and go to be with him. These assurances from God's word, they should give us great comfort today. Because Sheila Watt was one who loved the Lord's appearing. Knowing Jesus Christ was the most important thing in her life. And we are able to reflect here today and say, yes, she fought the good fight. She finished the race. She kept the faith. We can say, yes, she is now crowned with the victor's crown of righteousness. The victory secured on the cross by Jesus Christ is now known by her in all of its fullness. We feel the pain of loss, but we're comforted to know that she now knows the fullness of joy with Christ forever. I want to consider one last thing, and that is why Paul shares these things at all. Why does he write them down? He wasn't just writing a memoir. He reflected on the battle he had fought. He reflected on the victory that lay ahead for him because he had something in mind. He was thinking about the empty chair. Paul is now going to depart the scene, and that's why he charges Timothy in those verses that Stephen read for us. He says to Timothy, preach the word, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What Paul is saying is, all of the things I have been doing, you pick them up. You press on in doing the things God has given you to do. Paul is going to leave an empty chair. And his life of faithfulness is to inspire those coming behind him to step up and fill it. When I think of Sheila, I, like Brian mentioned, think of her dedication to prayer. Even in these last months, perhaps with the finish line in sight, she would ask for a list of things that she could pray for. That seat in the prayer meeting is now empty. That voice of enthusiasm for mission has now fallen silent. Let us be those who are inspired by a life lived for Christ to fill the empty chair, to take our place in the good fight, to be those who love and follow Jesus in the sure hope of victory in him. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the comfort of your word, that for our sister Sheila, she has returned home to the victor's crown. Returned home to the place where her Savior is, the Savior who kept and sustained her in the faith all these years. We praise you for the life remembered here today, for the clear reality of faith that was hers, and for the obvious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in her life. We again pray, Father, that you would comfort those who most feel her loss today. Comfort them with your presence and with the joy that was Sheila's in life and is now hers in all of its fullness. As we give you, our Father, all the glory for your great plan of salvation and for the many memories of one who longed for Christ's appearing, we pray this in his precious name. Amen. We're going to stand to sing the final hymn on the sheet, which is the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's My Shepherd, I'll not want. We'll stand to sing this after the introduction, and I would ask you to remain standing after this hymn is finished. Thank you.